Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The new year and the Supreme Court anticipating decisions ahead at the end, at the middle of the year, oral arguments here in wintertime. And we turn our attention with Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow of the Hoover Institution, as well as teaching law at NYU and the University of Chicago, to one large story that is very much in the news all the time. It turns out that the border is a Supreme Court concern. I read from the editorial of the Wall Street Journal in these hours. Title 42 lets the federal government bypass usual procedural requirements during a public health emergency to expel migrants, including many asylum seekers. The Supreme Court has let Title 42 stay in effect temporarily as litigation plays out, but courts are likely to rule eventually that a president has the authority to terminate the policy, as Mr. Biden wants to do. Richard, a very good evening to you. Title 42 in the Supreme Court surprised me, because heretofore I'd understood that this was a matter for the legislative branch, not the judicial branch. Certainly the executive would suit the executive if the House and the Senate were both in accord with the president's opinion. That is not now the case. So why does the Supreme Court step into this? How does this move the story?
Well, it turns out if you read a different sentence, it would say that these are cases having to do with the standing of basically red state Republican attorney generals to bring a suit to force the president and his government to continue the operation of rule of Title 42. The grounds where they want this is they're completely afraid of inundation by people whom they cannot handle. And so the question is whether or not they, quote unquote, have legal standing to do this. And then if they do have legal standing, the question is whether or not they have a valid cause of action, which could force the federal government to reverse its policies. And so take these two questions in order. The usual definition of standing is not one that is designed to deal with public entities. It generally states that you're a person that has a particularized industry, not one that is shared by ordinary population. This is an extremely important and thoroughly unacceptable definition, because it means when you have statutes which have serious problems on their face, in order to challenge it, no citizen or taxpayer is able to do so. You have to find somebody who is hurt by the particular statute in question. And usually that's an individual. Here, the red state attorney generals are going to argue, we are going to be hurt because we are going to be inundated by all of these people whom we cannot make adequate accommodations for, and that there is nothing by way of compensation from the federal government that could or would or does hold us harmless. So as a matter of general theory, I would assume that that counts as standing, although the law is sufficiently convoluted, nobody could say it. The most apical precedent that I could think of, when the shoe was very much on the other foot, this was 2007 in a case called Massachusetts against the EPA. The question was whether the state of Massachusetts, in a Republican administration, could force the administration to enter in some kind of a rule which gave some kind of response to the carbon dioxide, treating that as though it were a pollutant. I thought the suit was extremely weak on the merits, but it won. But the standing issue was, well, we have public land, and we believe that global warming is going to result in their inundation with rising oceans and so forth, and so therefore they're harmed. And the Supreme Court accepted that argument and then went on to rule on the merits in their favor. In this case, I think they're going to be forced to do it. Well, then they're going to have to do something about scheduling a merits trial, and that's going to postpone things even further. So why is this going on? I think the answer to this in the simplest form is that the Biden administration wants to be opposed to the continuation of Title 42, but desperately needs it to stay in place. The problem at the border has become untenable. It's a fivefold increase in the number of people trying to get into the United States from what it was under the Trump administration, over 2 million compared to about 400,000 some months ago. There's no way you can handle a system that does that. But the political left wants to have kind of open borders, and Biden has to acknowledge that that's a force there. So if he loses on this procedural motion, he gains some time, and hopefully somebody could figure out a way to sort this mess out before it completely overwhelms the system. So I think what will happen is that the red states will win this issue. They'll then have a briefing schedule on the merits, and that could take us into next term. And if we keep the injunction in place throughout that, we do it. The other question is, suppose you get rid of it. The brief order that the Supreme Court indicated said that they can reverse the policy on open borders anytime they want. But the way in which you read the position was, it turns out there may well be, everything is a matter of regulation and interpretation, a greater difficulty in trying to keep refugees out from the United States if you cannot take advantage of the COVID regulation. And so it may well be that's too little or too late. It's also a new Congress, and they can clearly pass other legislation that will do it. The general view on immigration matters for at least 80 years has been there within the exclusive control of the United States government, and that states can only act to the extent that they're authorized by the federal government or that their activities do not intrude upon this particular situation. And so what you do here is you have an appearance that the Biden administration wants to go forward with immigration. I think the truth about the matter is it does not, but it also doesn't want to have to stay. It thrives on ambiguity, not clarity.
Is the court the place to resolve this issue? Because we've seen the court enter into all kinds of controversies, and that's led to not clarity, but disorder.
Well, you're asking all the right questions, and let me sort of put to you the standard legal answer, which I think is the correct one. This is a standing issue, and what the standing issue does is it gets the thing before the court. The court, however, is not, after standing is established, required to resolve the case on the merits. What it can do is to say, look, that this is a political question. It doesn't fall within our jurisdiction.
Right.
We need to know more about the issue so that it's not ripe for adjudication and so forth, so that they can dismiss the case without having to decide it, putting it squarely back within the political branches. Now, the jurisdiction on what is and is not a political question is extremely complicated under these circumstances. In my view, it's particularly difficult to find an intelligible external standard that a court could use to impose upon the president of the Congress. And so I think that the dismissal on political question grounds is actually a pretty attractive alternative. The Biden administration, I think, would be okay with that because it would, quote, win the case, but it would like to take another 6 months to win it. At this point, as the time goes on, the Republicans are going to start to put forward measures through the House in which they're going to try to cabin the whole illegal situation. And in fact, it's not impossible to dream what it is. We could solve, quote unquote, 80% of this problem if we went back to the Trump policy. And that means, in effect, narrowing the definitions of what somebody's allowed to do in order to claim refugee status because of the intolerable situation elsewhere. And so if you do pass new legislation, the president may well sign it. And this is the problem that he faces. The sort of positions that he really likes intellectually are untenable politically, and he knows this. And so what he does is he has to bend but not break. We've already seen this in the labor context. You recall that Joe Biden is the most pro-union president ever, and indeed he probably is. Then there's the looming threat of a railroad strike. And what happens is, can you force these workers back to work on the grounds that whenever you have a strike in the transportation industry, it only takes about 24 to 48 hours to have a complete disruption of the entire economy? And nobody could stand that because the unions are unhappy about the provisions that are given for sick pay. And so what they did is he basically passed and signed an order which put this strike on hold for 80 days. And then you may have to think about it again. Well, Biden did that. And my guess is that he and the Democrats will do the following kind of thing. They'll waffle a little bit. They'll propose some kinds of amendment. And they will recommit themselves in the long run to open borders. They will acknowledge the short-term pressures and hope that they could work this out. So it's possible that they will actually yield to the Democrats, because if they don't yield to the particular Democrats, the whole thing is going to be a complete shambles. Or deal to the Republicans, it's going to be a shambles. So I think, in effect, what happens is the visible failure of this policy on the ground limits the options that the Democrats have in dealing with this stuff, and they're going to have to sacrifice their sacred cows. The left has nowhere else to go if Biden decides to move to the center, and it would be suicidal thinking about the 2024 election to have a border crisis which is showing no signs of abatement and every sign of aggravation. So this is all appearance and reality stuff, but I think to some extent that we're not going to see a return to the ideal first best Biden position, taking everybody in and then sorting everybody out only after they've gotten into this country, where it may be difficult to keep them under custody. It may be difficult to house and to feed them and so forth. It's a real problem. And I think, in effect, that the Democrats don't have any stomach at this particular point for having to face the enormity of that and the wrath of borders, north voters, north, south, east, and west, given all the busing that can take place as well.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow commenting on a case before the court, oral arguments and a decision at mid-year. We turn to another matter before the courts for oral arguments in this winter term for resolution mid-year, student loans. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.